Thanks for joining us today for The Struggle is Real, and enjoy your lunch. It's awesome. So if we haven't met, my name is Tyler. I get to serve as the campus pastor at the Greenfield location of the Ridge Community Church. Right there in Greenfield. If you're driving down there around Highway 100, you might see the church right by the Walmart. Some of you are like, hey, do you know Walmart Church? Like, that's us. That's we get to do. And actually, I love the convenience, because my wife will always text me like right before I leave work. She's like, this is what we need. Go get the cat litter, go get the cookies and maybe some milk. And it's like every night. So, but a lot of fun, thanks for coming in today to just make yourselves better. I know taking a Saturday out to just continue to invest in your relationship with God, as well as your commitment to loving other people, including whatever kid or kids caused you to want to come and be a part of this breakout, is worth it. And I think God honors the intentionality that we don't just put into learning more, but then actually doing something with what it is we're talking about. So thank you guys. You guys are the real heroes for making this a day happen. So, hey, a new season just kicked off actually a couple days ago on February 1, and it has nothing to do with guys. You guys know what happened? The Girl Scouts just started selling cookies, right? How many of you guys like the Girl Scout cookies? For sure, what are you guys, some of your favorite ones? Yeah, Thin Mints is always a popular one. We're a peanut butter patty family at my house. My kids and I, we can just pound boxes of those. My wife's like got that gluten allergen thing, so she can't partake, but she tries to pace us because she knows we can go through, like, you know, boxes after boxes. And so she'll kind of like, hey, you know, I hide one box and do all that. Well, there was one day last year, our church, we do a Thursday night service. And so I was teaching at that service. I got home late. And I'm like, you know what? It's time for like that late night snack, which, you know, Girl Scout cookies are the best ones for it. I go into the pantry, pull out the thing. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to do some self-control. I'm going to only have two of them, you know, like the actual serving size on there. Pull it out. And I see three peanut butter patties just kind of like remaining there. And I'm thinking, you know, if I eat two of them, I'm going to leave one. I have two kids, so I don't want to, like, create a fight between the two kids of who's going to get that last one. So I'm going to do what any good dad does, and I just pound all three, throw the box away, and just move on. I don't even think about it later. The next day, I'm kind of out. I'm at a meeting, and I missed my kids. My wife texts me and says, hey, hon, the kids are heartbroken right now. And I'm like, well, why are they heartbroken? She said, well, they wrote a note on that box of cookies and said, hey, Dad, Mom said save this for us. And you just went ahead and you just ate them anyways. And they're like, what kind of dad would do that, eating his kids' cookies? And I'm like, this dad. You know, and I'm like, I didn't see the note at all, I just went ahead through that. But I just kind of like looked at that and laughed at it. Like, hey, this is one very small example of many of us. We experience, like, man, the struggle can be real with us having kids. And I my bet is that for you guys to come into this breakout today, that there is a kid in your life, it may be an age or whatever age, whatever stage of life you're in, that you say, man, the struggle is real, but they're worth being here. And, you know, it's kind of hard to admit that we're struggling right now. In fact, we're like, I don't want to struggle with different things. But what we do know and realize is that the local church really should be the best place that we should struggle and struggle well together. Because when we acknowledge our struggles and we work together towards this, we find hope and healing, and we have a much larger impact as a result of just struggling well together. So today, we're going to talk about struggling well with our kids. A couple things before we jump in. One is, this is for anyone who has a kid in their life. This isn't just for dads. What we're going to talk about today also includes stepdads, grandpas, a foster dad, single dads, any guardians, any future dads, as any adult that just cares for a kid. What we're going to talk about today, you can put into practice. In fact, here's what I know. A kid that you know is really needing you to be dialed in on what we're talking about today. And if you don't have a kid living at home today, they're really going to be dependent on you just kind of keying in on not just learning about this, but actually doing something that we talk about, so that way you can help them and bless their life by putting this into practice. Others of you, you got a kid in your home right now, and the struggle is real. Like, you already got your notes out, and there's some notes on the tables. If you guys didn't get any notes, I have some handouts here that we can pass around and add these through that you can follow along on. Thank you so much, sir. Appreciate that. So So that's one thing to keep in mind, is that this is true for anyone who has a kid in their life. Another thing to kind of keep in mind, I'm not a parent or kid or student expert. You might say, yeah, obviously, you're the dude who ate your dad's or your kid's cookies. I am not an expert by any means. However, we're going to look at the principles of one who is the parenting expert. We're going to learn from God today. We're going to hear wisdom from him. But like many of you, I've also been a kid. I've been raised by parents, step-parents, grandparents, and I have kids. And so we're going to learn and go through this together. So this is much of a breakup for me as it is for any of us here. So many of you probably grew up in a similar home to me. And that is, I grew up in a split home. I don't know if anyone else has. I'm not going to ask you guys to identify as that. But my mom and dad, who I love both very dearly, I know they love me. I know they did the best they can. But their marriage ended when I was very young. In fact, I have no memory of my parents together at all. In fact, I grew up most of my life going back and forth from my mom's to my dad's. Both of them remarried. My dad remarried when I was four. I remember being in his wedding. And then my mom remarried, so I had a stepdad. But then I had another stepdad a few years after that. And so you know, life just kind of happened that way. And so as a result of that, I have siblings, step-siblings. I mean, totally get that full mixed family experience. And so grateful for my parents, my step-parents, my grandparents, those who helped me become the person I am today. But I'll be honest, yeah, there were some struggles growing up with that and experienced that. And if some of you guys want to talk about that later, we'd be happy to do that. There's no denying that. But if you fast forward 20 years, I became a parent. And actually, there was a struggle to get there as well. And maybe some of you guys can relate to that as well. My wife and I, we got married when we were wanting to start having kids. We weren't starting to have kids and went through a number of years of, hey, what's going on? Went to the doctors, were told, hey, having kids for you is probably unlikely to happen biologically and naturally. And we're like, well, what does that mean, God? But the unlikely then did happen. And my wife ended up pregnant with my daughter, Jalen. And Jalen is now my 11-year-old, just started sixth grade, middle school. And a few years after that, we then had my son, Brennan, who is now 7 years old. And so those are my two together, and then having custard is one of their favorite things to do. And so my wife and I, we transitioned from that struggle to having kids to now the struggle is real to having kids. I mean, in case you didn't know, kids, they don't come with an instruction manual when they're born. It'd be helpful if they did. But early childhood, we knew the struggle of having no sleep and having dirty diapers and dirty homes, the struggle to finding childcare, and then the bigger struggle, how do you pay for the childcare and how do you figure all of that out? Then to having the struggle of having elementary age kids. We're helping them navigate friendships, become more responsible, and help them understand, well, how do you actually follow God at this age? To now a daughter moving into middle school and all of the questions and the struggles that come with that as well. And so like many of you, we're facing the exact same cultural expectations that come with raising kids. And culture may not say it this explicitly, but if we think about it, we realize there are some expectations that our culture in general is placing on all of us when it comes to raising our kids. And so here are some of the expectations that we experience. First, we're supposed to raise kids who are happy. And our culture would say there is nothing more important than our kids' happiness. I mean, adults should get them what they want, put them in whatever they want, whenever they want, and go, because it's our kids' happiness that matters the most. Not only that, we're going to raise kids who are happy. We also have to raise kids who are smart. And we hear from culture that education, I mean, it is absolutely critical for their success. And hear me, I'm not against education. But the focus on the right education keeps coming earlier and earlier and earlier. And we know there's homework, there's tests, there's college visits. I mean, we just hone in on education, and we make it all about that. But if it's not enough to raise kids who are happy and smart, then we also have to raise kids who are talented. Now, I might sound like a boomer here, and obviously I'm not. You know, but for the, you know, do you remember when sports actually had a season? I mean, I grew up, I had three of them, three different sports. You know, you'd play three of them. I played football, basketball, and then baseball. You just kind of rotate back and forth, and it was a lot of fun. Now, we know the pressure from culture today is to get our kids into all of the clubs, all of the camps, year-round sports, to develop their talent so that they can compete at the top level at any age. And the truth is, not everyone can be at the top of their game. I mean, I'm not against sports, very much pro sports. My kids play them. But we feel that pressure to have them develop that most talent. And we do all of this so that we can raise kids to ultimately meet the expectation to be successful. And we depend on those first three so that they can be then deemed successful. This is what leads to long-term success. This is what is needed to get them into college, to get a career, so that they could raise their own family and do this over and over again. But let me ask you, how is this working for us? Yeah, a lot of like nervous laughter right now because we know the answer. It's not working out very well. I mean, I didn't even take the time to look at all the more stats and research because we hear it every single week. We hear new stats. What are our kids dealing with? Anxiety, depression, suicidal thoughts, loneliness. I mean, we hear new stats and new research about this every single week. And the reason for this is here's what this creates for both of our kids as well as us as those who are raising them. It's an unrealistic pressure. And we feel the weight of this. If this is the goal, then yes, the struggle to get there is going to be very, very real. Because raising the perfect happy kid and being the perfect parent who's raising them is completely unrealistic. And so what we're going to do today is we're going to change our definition of success for raising our kids, and we're going to change it to a better one. And we're going to look at some clear ways that we can get there. And though I'm no child expert, we're going to actually pull these principles out of the one who is, the God who made us, and he made our kids. And so we're going to pull out God's wisdom from Scripture, a little bit of time that we have left. And so God actually gives us the clear goal for raising our kids, and it's actually found in the book of Ephesians. And Paul, who wrote this, he gives insight on how our kids can actually thrive. And here's what he says. He says, fathers. So he's calling us out right away. Hey, dads, guys, fathers. Now, this Greek word that he used actually is all-encompassing. It's not just fathers, but it definitely includes fathers. This is written to anyone who has any influence on a kid. He says, fathers, all of us, I mean, this even includes the local church, that we can come together. He says, fathers, here's what I want you to do. Do not exasperate your children. And that word exasperate could actually, some translations will say, don't provoke them to anger. And what do you get when you're overwhelmed with expectations and pressures? You get frustrated. You get anxious. You get angry. You withdraw. And this is exactly what we see in our culture right now. Our kids are overwhelmed with the cultural pressures on them. And they're provoked to anger, anxiety, depression. They're withdrawing. And he says, don't do this. Don't overwhelm this. But rather, he says, instead, he's going to give us a brand new goal. And he says, instead, bring them up in the training and the instruction of the Lord. Instead, we relieve pressure from them and us. And we have this goal that Paul gives us. He says, this goal is going to stick with them year after year. Any stage of life, they can experience this. This goal will help them as they're out on their own. It'll help them as they have kids. And our goal actually comes through this filter of teaching them of what it's like to follow Jesus. You know, I've heard it described like this from Reggie Joyner, who is actually a kids and student ministry expert. And he says this. He reminds us as parents, hey, we aren't raising kids. We're raising future adults. And it's best for us to keep in mind the future adult that we are raising when it comes to our kid. And so with that in mind, we can say that our goal, our measures of success can be boiled down to this. Our goal is to help our kids become adults who love God, love others, and then move out. Hopefully, one day, they will actually move out. I mean, when this is our goal, this relieves the pressure of our cultural expectations. The decisions you are making are through the filter of this goal, and you want to raise someone who loves God, loves other people, and can become that independent adult. Now, this sounds great, right? The question is, well, how do we actually get there? I mean, this is still a struggle, and it's going to require us to be very intentional about how to go about this. But if we get intentional, we can provide what our kids need to reach the goal, because there are actually two primary things that our kids are going to need in order to become this. The two things that they need that we can give them are love and limits. Every kid needs to know that they are unconditionally loved, that there is someone right behind them. There's no strings attached. Someone in their corner is just right there for them, absolutely loving them. And they also need to know that there are limits. They can't get everything that they want, whenever they want. That there is this, and it's a complex struggle to having kids who become adults, because you have to show unconditional love while at the same time setting up limits that will help them become a responsible adult. So if I were to ask you guys about your parents, which side would your parents have leaned? Did you grow up in a home that was more love or limits? How many of you guys grew up in what you would say is more of a loving home? They leaned that way. Okay, awesome. Very cool. How many of you would say you grew up in a home that was more limit setting? A few of us, yeah, I'm on your side. I mean, you kind of have a little bit mixture of the both. You might lean one or the other. I knew I was loved, but man, oh man, I knew where the limits were. And I knew when I crossed them. And so there was definitely some limits that were there. Others of us, we'd say, yeah, I had a more loving home, but maybe where I want. The limits definitely weren't there. What we want to do is we want to go through the struggle of demonstrating both. One parenting expert, Marcia Moritz, she tells it like this. She says, stop trying to be your kid's best friend. Rather, be what they need most, and what they need is love-giving, limit-setting parents. Let them make friends with kids their own age. You step up, and you be the parent. See, our kids need love and limits to become the adults who love God, love others, and become independent. And so the question is, well, how do we give them these two things they need? How do we give them the love and limits? And the way that we do it is by answering three questions that every kid is asking. And they won't come out and verbalize this. They won't say, hey, you know, here's what I'm dealing with. But they're asking these questions, and we can provide these answers to them. So the first question that each of our kids are asking is, well, where are the boundaries? When's out of bounds? In fact, my son, Brennan, who's in second grade now, he started playing basketball with the Upward program. We actually started out in Hills Corners. They don't do it now, so now we actually come to Fox River for our Upward program with a lot of our neighbors and their kids. And if you guys have done anything with the Upward basketball with the first and second graders, here's what you know. They do a great job of like beginning to progressively introduce some different rules to the game of basketball. And so like week one with those first and second graders, you see kids carrying the ball like rugby style going down the court, and they're throwing elbows and they're just things up and some sort of go in, but it's a lot of fun. But then, you know, by the great job that the coaches are doing, and maybe some of you are even coaching Upward here, which is awesome if you're doing that, you get to begin to start teaching them the rules. And so like week four, they know that they have to dribble down the court and they can't go past that out of bounds line, or otherwise then the team gets the other ball. Like, boundaries are so important in sports, and boundaries are so important as well when it comes to our life. In fact, our kids, in every area of life, they need to know where the boundaries are. And so they're asking, where are they all the time at different ages? And so when you tell your toddler it's bedtime, and they try to stay up past, and they just want to see what happens. You know, can I get away with this? Or your teenager asks to go to the party, and you say no, and you overhear them tell someone, I'm just going to go anyways. What do you do? Where are the boundaries? They need to know where the boundaries are. In fact, several years ago, there was this study of juvenile delinquents, and they were asked the question, what could your parents have done to help you feel more loved? And you could probably think of a number of different responses, but the most common one is very surprising. They said, I would have felt more loved if they would have disciplined me more. Now, I don't know about you guys. My kids, they aren't going to come out loud and say that one right out of the gate. They're not going to say, hey, Dad, you know, like, you know, you got to take away the tablet more. They're not going to say that, you know. But those interviewed realized that the discipline is going to help raise a responsible man or woman. And that's loving by setting limits to help us reach our goal to love God, love people, and be independent. In fact, the author of Hebrews writes about how God actually loves you and me through discipline. And here's what the author says. It says, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but rather painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. And so no kid is going to say thank you at the time of discipline. Hey, thanks, Mom, for limiting my screen time. Not going to happen. Dad, you nailed it by keeping me away from that dangerous party. Way to go, Dad. You know, high five. I mean, we know that's not going to happen, but here's what happens. Later on, there's going to be a quiet gathering of right living when they know where the boundaries are, and there's going to be this peace between you and them eventually. And they'll be responsible. They'll make responsible decisions, and it may come later in life, maybe in their 20s, 30s, or 40s, but you see the benefits of what's happening by actually providing this healthy discipline and helping them understand where the limits are. And so we provide this through healthy discipline, where we just say, here's where the boundary is, and here's what happens when you go out of bounds. Here's the time limit on the screen, and if we go past it, well, there's going to be no screen tomorrow. We set the boundaries in love because that helps provide the limits that they need. So that's the first question. First question is, where are the boundaries? Second question, do you love me? Do you love me? Every kid is asking this question. And our natural response is going to be, of course, absolutely, absolutely, I love my kids and I love you. Question that we have to ask ourselves is, do they feel loved by you? See, there's a story found in the Old Testament part of the Bible. It describes the relationship between David, who was the king of Israel, and his son Absalom. And Absalom and him, they had a falling out so bad that they didn't speak to each other for 3 years. I mean, talk about a silent treatment. And there were times that Absalom actually missed his dad and he reached out to try to reconnect, but David actually would find reasons to postpone or not meet him. And it came to the spot where Absalom actually reached out to David's general to set up a meeting with him. And that would be like if our kids were to go to our administrative assistant, if we have one, and say, hey, can I have a meeting with dad? And so he's trying to get every reason to try to get his dad's attention, but still, he's being pushed away and is not meeting with his son. Well, shortly after that, Absalom finally got the message, and he realized, you know, me and dad, I don't have his attention. Here's what I'm going to do to get his attention. And they go, he and his guys, they actually take fire, and they set David's fields of crops on fire. He burns down so much of his fields, it destroys a significant portion of his wealth. See, our kids, they want our involvement and loving attention. And if they don't feel like they have it, they'll set some fields on fire. They may fail out of school, maybe experiment with some drugs. They might get pregnant or get someone else pregnant. Now, I don't question your love for your kids. What I want you to ask yourself is, do your kids say that they have your attention? I don't mean all the time. But would they say, are they competing with something? Are they competing with work? The new girlfriend? A hobby? Our phone? See, here's the good news for us. I don't want us to leave feeling guilty. The good news is we don't have to be perfect. We just have to be present. See, we're going to make mistakes with times with kids, but our kids aren't expecting perfect. They are expecting us to be present with them. To be at dinner as much as possible, be available to tuck them into bed, go to the games, or take them out for some fun. See, some of the parents that I respect the most who do this, they call these one-on-ones. They spend time one-on-ones with each of their kids, and they just get very creative in some of their ideas of how they get to be present with their kids. I know one dad who takes his daughter, a young little girl, out for donuts on Saturdays, and they call them like daddy-daughter donut days, you know, just a fun time. I know another dad with his teenage sons would take them out once a night, like Tuesday nights out to Dairy Queen, just get some blizzards, and say, hey, whatever you want to talk about, let's talk about. And my family, we started implementing this where my wife will take my son and then I'll take my daughter. We'll go out for dinner, we'll vice versa. And we'll let the kids pick where they want to go. So like my daughter loves to go out to sushi with me. And the same thing, like order what you want and let's just talk and whatever it is that you want to bring up. And here's the thing, they look forward to it and we look forward to it as well. And we get to have real honest conversations where we get to be present with one another. And that presence, it answers that question, do you love me? And so that's the second question that they're asking. The third question that every kid is asking is, well, do I have what it takes? Do I have what it takes? See, our kids need to know that they have what it takes to do what God's calling them to do, or they're going to act out if they don't know it. See, they become codependent person who sells themselves short, and they don't live out the purpose that God has called for them. In fact, so many of our kids, they have not been taught this powerful truth that comes from Scripture, from Ephesians chapter 2, where Paul says, hey, for we, that's you, that's me, that's any of our kids in our lives, we are God's handiwork, created in Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Being his handiwork means we're God's masterpiece. He calls you and me his work of art. He calls our kids his work of art. And I know so many kids and students who don't feel like a work of art. They wish they were taller. They wish they were stronger. They wish they were smarter. They wish they were cool enough to have friends sit with them at the table. They hear from culture again and again that they don't measure up and they aren't enough. And what they need to hear from us over and over again is that they were created by God. They are a masterpiece inside and out. And they won't succeed at everything, but God really has gifted them. And they need to be encouraged, which literally means to give courage. See, everybody needs encouragement. Never stops. All of us, we still need some encouragement. Even when our kids become adults, they'll need encouragement then. Everybody needs it. In fact, some of the best encouragement that I've gotten over my life has happened in the last few years from my mom and my grandparents. As a pastor, often there's times where I wrestle with, hey, do I have what it takes? Really? There are times that when I teach, I'm like, I don't know how that went over. I don't know if that really helped anyone. I don't know if anyone was connecting with that. And just kind of wrestling with, hey, did that work? But then my mom, who actually joins us online at The Ridge, will text me and post on social media. She's like, it's just so cool to like learn from your kid. It's just really helpful. In fact, a couple of weeks ago, she made the decision to go public with her faith in Jesus and get baptized. And she actually drove up from Illinois to join us at a Ridge service and invited me to baptize her. And the crowd was like, wow. And I was like, wow. You know, it's just like a really cool, encouraging moment. And then to get messages from my grandpa who said, I was willing to learn the time to figure out YouTube, which for a 80-year-old man is a significant investment, just to learn and hear from you. And I'm just so proud of what you're doing. I mean, some of the greatest text messages just getting from that. And we all need encouragement like that. And we'd say, yeah, I need encouragement like that. Our kids need even more of that. They need to know that they have what it takes. See, we need to know that we're all created by God, and therefore we have what it takes to do what he's called us to do. And so we want to give encouragement to your kid and help them realize that God has given them what it takes. And someone in the previous session asked, well, what do I need to know on how to encourage them? And here's what I would encourage you with. Anytime you think a good thought about them, that's encouragement to give to them. Anytime something positive comes to your mind, like, oh, my, that kid did something really cool, just tell them. Having the good thought is not going to encourage them. Telling them what it is that you're thinking will encourage them and it'll help them out. So answering those questions will provide the love that our kids need to become adults who love God, love others, and become responsible adults. Now, I want to remind you of this as we start wrapping up some of our time. And that is, as parents and dads, you are the primary voice, but you aren't the only voice. There is no one, no matter how great of a dad you are or guy you are, no one person can do this alone. That's why I know all of the churches that are being represented here, and I can confidently say this about all of the churches, whatever church you may come from. That's why all of us are committed to partnering with you to helping each of your kids answer these questions. This is the single biggest reason why I couldn't encourage you enough to make sure that your kid or your student is involved in your local church's kids and student communities. Because there's going to be caring adults who are there who will help them answer these questions. They'll help reinforce the limits. They'll never undermine you as a parent. In fact, they'll show kids and students every week at an age-appropriate level just how much God loves them. And they will equip them and give them opportunities to discover that they have what it takes. In fact, this past year, I thought one of the coolest things that my church that I get to be a part of has been for my family has been for my daughter, Jalen. Because Jalen went through our Ridge Kids environments and loved it. She had something I never had as a kid. She has a church that she loves being a part of. But not only is she now getting the questions answered by her kids. Now our church is letting her make that difference for other kids as well. And so she's discovering she has what it takes by now stepping into the rooms and serving alongside her mom, my wife, and helping younger kids begin to answer these questions as well. And so she's not only receiving the answer to these questions, she's now giving these answers to these questions, and she's discovering her wiring and her purpose as she's making a difference in the lives of these other kids. And I can't help but think, where else can our kids get something like this? Where they discover at 10 to 11 years old that they are made by God, loved by God, and they have the ability to make a difference in the lives of others. I mean, that's the power of the local church, and that's the power of caring adults coming alongside kids to help them answer these questions. And I just think it's so incredible that they help realize that she realizes at 11 years old, she has what it takes to help others follow Jesus. It's just so cool. And so as we wrap up, here's what I want you to do this week. A few more pictures of her serving there. I want you to give an answer to one of the questions to your kid in your life this week. Set a boundary. Tell them you love them. Be present and give them encouragement. Help them understand that they have exactly what it takes. And when you do this, you're going to provide what they need the most. You're going to give them that love and those limits to help them become the person who loves God, loves other people, and then eventually will be that independent adult who moves out and is making a big, big difference in others' lives. So I'm going to encourage us to get together and discuss a few questions. But before we do, I'm just going to turn it back to you guys. Do you guys have any questions for me before you get into your groups? Nope. Awesome. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to ask you guys to join. If you're on your own, I'm going to ask you to join up with another table. I'm going to ask you guys just to discuss a few questions. They're on your handout. I'll put them also on the screen. I'll give you guys about 10 minutes to do that, and then we'll hear from others what your big takeaway from this time is. All right, so I'll turn it over to each table, and I'm just going to ask each table, so you can pick your own representative, like, what was one key takeaway or one thing stand out to you guys from your discussions, and let's just kind of learn together. So I'll start with you guys here in the middle. What was maybe one thing that stood out to you guys in this time, or maybe a question you guys have? Yeah, absolutely. So am I hearing a lot of different ages of kids in one home and trying to then balance through all of that? Yeah. It's a little bit of a challenge because everyone's like, hey, that's not fair, and whatnot. So, but the goal would be, I think the goal would be graduated responsibility. Like at some point, like, hey, because every child is going to want more freedom out, you know, like, hey, I want more freedom. But often we don't associate freedom with more responsibility. And so we'd have to show, hey, as you continue to grow, we'll give you more of that freedom. But there's also going to be this expectation of responsibility, which we get this. That's how life works, right? And so trying to help our kids understand, like, I love you all the same, but that also means I'm going to express this differently. So, yeah, my 8-year-old is going to have an earlier bedtime than my 11-year-old, just kind of naturally right now. So, but that's good. That's a good bring out. So, how about you guys over here? I saw you guys chatting for a little while. Being present. Well, I think probably even as guys, sometimes the challenge is we know the responsibility support and provide for our kids. And so for me, it's like, oh, I need to work, make sure I'm doing the best job here to provide for them. And then easy to, oh, now it's checkout time when I'm at home. I'm like, no, that works just as important, right? Because now we're present with them and being intentional that way. So good stuff. Oh, thank you, man. Thank you, Chris. How about you guys? Times have changed. How so? Yeah, you use the technology word. How many would say that you have struggles with technology with the kid that has brought you here? And I'd raise my hand. Absolutely, a lot of us, right? Because we didn't necessarily have that growing up, at least most of us. Maybe if you're a little younger, maybe. But the challenge of how do you handle it? Have you guys found anything that's been helpful for you guys at your table? Like, this has been helpful dealing with this?
Yeah, we brought up possibly limiting time.
Yeah. the struggle is definitely real with that, for sure. I served as our student pastor at The Ridge for a number of years, and then kind of moved into our online ministry, you know, thank you, COVID, for a number of that. And so then a lot of different things. And so a lot of people would, like, look at me and say, hey, Tyler, you're the technology guy, and you get all of this, and you understand this. And, yeah, I get it, and I like it, but also I think the research is starting to show now some of the things we were starting to wonder at least a few years ago of, there is long-term damaging implications of extended screen time use. And so my encouragement would be if you're conservative, maybe be a little more conservative. I love how an author that I've read, his name escapes me, it's The TechWise Family, is a book that Andy Crouch writes in The TechWise Family. He's like, my goal isn't to get you to be Amish. My goal is to get you to be a little bit more Amish than what you currently are, and just kind of looking at some of that technology trends. Going back to what we talked about here, as far as age, okay, you know, what are some responsibilities that we'll graduate and do? But in our home, there's tablets, but like with my 11-year-old, sixth grade, a lot of her friends have cell phones. We're like, no, we're gonna hold on to not giving that to you as long as we can. And definitely no social media until 15, 16, until we can definitely talk about that, because of just the damage that we've just continued to see there. And thankfully, I think she's seen the effects of it. There was one time where she was like, going back to some of the challenges, we had a big struggle, big fight over the iPad. And I said, she was getting anxious and all this stuff. And I said, do you believe that I'm going to do whatever I can to love you, to give you what's best? She's like, yeah, absolutely. I said, okay, here's what the research says about tablet use. I think we need a limit this time. She's like, oh, no. But then she came back and talked to me about it. She's like, no, I think you're right. We do need a limit. So we do 2 or 3 nights a week, no tech in the home, which is also a challenge for me and mom as well. And so we have to watch ourselves as well on that. So thanks for bringing that up. Appreciate it. So how about you guys?
So I've been divorced twice.
Okay.
I was in the service. I was gone all the time.
Oh, thank you for your service, man.
I always wanted to keep the family together. Mm-hmm. What I wanted, what I projected, and I fought longer, and now realizing the unhealthy things with the kids and exposing them to that.
Yeah.
I'm also the disciplinary in the house.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There's more boundaries in my house than anything.
Yeah.
And the kids, you know, they feel like they're not having fun because at their perspective of the house, they have none.
Mm.
And my youngest came to me a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
We have those moments where we have the honest conversation.
Yeah.
She's like, Dad, I'm not sure what's coming over here.
Yeah.
It's very different.
Yeah.
You know, and it's I have to switch and I struggle with that.
Do you and their child's mom have okay, that makes it very hard. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. As I was sharing with them, it's I'm doing the right thing.
Yeah.
I bring my kids to church. I invite them to have a relationship with God. I pray with them.
Yeah.
You know, I do all the things.
Yeah.
It just feels, you know, you're like, you're not going to come to me and say, hey, thank you.
Yeah. Right.
I'm being prudent.
Yeah.
Because I realize now, like the gentleman shared.
Yeah. Yeah.
Looking back at my life, I appreciate my father being that person.
Right.
Because it was those values that he instilled in me that I have a sense of appreciation.
Yeah.
That I know I'm doing the right thing.
Yeah.
And I pray, but it's a tough thing because
it's hard.
It's like, hey, got to be fun. And I'm like, yeah, sometimes I'm not.
Yeah.
Because I need to be the
person
that
they need. Yeah. I think that it's definitely a challenge when you have them that part-time or half the time or sometime, and then just saying, I have to be definitely way more intentional. But I do think God honors that, and I think your kids will remember that going from being – I grew up in 2 different environments as well. Yeah, yes, sir? Yeah.
The other big thing that we talked about, too, was trying not to force our agenda
on
the kids.
Yeah.
You know, I think a lot of times we have this expectation on the kids that we want them to live the way that we think they should.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's creating the anxiety and the pressure.
Yeah.
I think you mentioned that earlier.
Yeah.
But, so it's kind of like letting them do their thing and then support what that is and not.
Yeah.
So it's hard as a parent
because
you think this is what our kids should be, but that's not fair to them.
Yeah. No, I think that's definitely fair, especially if their hobbies and interests maybe are different than yours. Yeah.
That's in reference to my son, so I coach football.
Yeah.
And I have a son who's 6'3", 185 pounds, and stopped playing football.
You're like, you're a linebacker, man. You got that body. You're ready to roll. And so, yeah.
It's difficult there.
Yeah.
Like we were talking, I see myself now and see what I want.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what he wants.
Yeah. Well, that's wise on you then to appreciate that and say, hey, no, I'm still going to be interested and be present with you. Yeah. No, but that's fair to admit. That's fair to admit.
It's more than me.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. So, oh, no, it's... growing up with raising my daughter, like, oh, I grew up with brothers. Like, oh, we're going to do the princess book again and read this again. Okay. But, you know, but it's time with them for sure. And so, yeah, no, that's good. That's good. So how about you guys?
Yeah, I guess that's it for us. One thing that stood out the most is just the measure of success in parenting.
Yeah.
Our kids become adults who love God, love others, and move out.
Yeah.
I think a lot of times, you know, because I think about my son and trying to coach him in different things, like children don't necessarily take coaching from their parents too well. And just, you know, pointing them to the church too and youth ministry mm-hmm. and stuff like that, they can hopefully see some parallels in
yeah.
you know, what I'm saying and what they're seeing.
Yeah.
And it's less so, you know, skeptical.
Yeah.
What my father says.
Yeah. Yeah. There's that time that the power of that reinforced voice, you know, the third voice, you got that cool small group leader that says, hey, Dad, you know, I should put my phone down. Yeah. Yeah. You know, I've been saying that probably, you know, which is why. That's why we partner together and we share the same message. They're going to take that step to continue to follow Jesus, which is great. So, guys, you've been awesome. We're actually at, are you guys okay if I take a moment and pray for you? Real quick? All right. Let me pray for you guys. God, I'm just so grateful for this group of men that have just chosen to really be intentional about following you and taking steps to just love and serve the next generation in a better way. In fact, God, they wouldn't have been here if they weren't intentional about this. And so, God, I'm just so grateful for that. I pray that you'd honor them because they made the step. God, I pray that whatever steps you're calling us to take today, God, I pray that you give us the wisdom to take that. And we would then maybe answer one of these questions for our kids. We provide the love and limits they need so that they can become the person that you've created them to be. God, I pray for the kids that are represented in this room right now, whether it's sons, daughters, nephews, kids that we know in our neighborhood or in our school we serve in or a church that we serve in. I pray, God, that you would do work in these guys today, that you would bless those kids, that they would know this week, they would know where the limits are, that they would know that they are loved and valued by you, that they would know that you give them what it takes. And God, as a result of that, those young men and women would grow up to become the people that you call them to be, and that there would be a moment of hope that's only possible through Jesus, just brought through their generation because of the work of what you're doing in them. And so God, I just pray, God, that we wouldn't just say, hey, this was a really cool day. It has been a cool day. It's been a great day. But I pray, God, that you would just do some work in us to take not just what we've learned, but put it into practice so that we can make a difference in others. Just like you came and made a difference in each of us. And so, Jesus, we love you. We thank you for the work that you've done today. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Awesome. Well, thank you, guys.